You don't mind, I'm just going to read it to you, okay? So if you could just actively follow along and listen, my reading may be slightly different, my version slightly different than yours, but if you can just follow along anyway, that would be great. We're looking at James chapter 1. And the reading is beginning at verse 13 to verse 20. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So when Brian has been preaching over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the book of James, and we're reminded that in the first chapter of James that we face trials and we face temptations, two very different things. James in verses 1 to 12 deals with the trials which are beneficial or helpful to us, because without the trials, our faith would not be tested and we wouldn't become strong in the Lord. The kind of trials that James talks about are outward things, and they test us. And it says when we're tested that we have to persevere, because perseverance develops a strong character within us. Perseverance means not quitting. Have you ever started something and it's been really, really difficult? And you think, forget that. And you quit? No? Just me? I'm the only one? Oh, okay, there are a few of you, okay. Few people who will admit to it. All right, but perseverance is not quitting in the face of difficulty, not quitting in the face of opposition. If I speak too quickly, just kind of wave at me, and I'll try to slow down, okay? Perseverance, as I said, makes us stronger spiritually. It matures us in Christ. Years ago, when ships used sails, the builders of the ships would look for a very strong mast, a strong pole on which to put the sails. They didn't go down into the valleys where the trees were protected to find the mast. They went to the hilltops. And on those hilltops, they would look for trees that were strong and tall and straight, the trees that had weathered the storms already. There was no good for them to have a tree or a pole that was going to snap with the winds of the oceans. They needed a tree that was strong. So they looked for a strong, tall tree that had already weathered the storms. And that's what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be tall and strong in him, weathering the storms of life. Sometimes, you know, when you see a storm go through, they uproot trees. Also, we can't be a tree that is uprooted easily. We have to let our roots go deep down into Jesus Christ, deep down into the Word of God. And then we won't be tossed about when the storms come our way. James also reminds us to ask God for wisdom when we face trials. We need to have an unshakable faith that God will answer us and that he will help us. Scripture says in James 1 and 12 that if we do this, if we trust in God, then he will give us a crown of life because he loves us. When we reach heaven, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and we will receive a crown of life. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, we all are. James now, in the second part of this chapter, in verses 13 and on, focuses on temptation. Has anybody here not been tempted? We're all tempted. Sometimes we're tempted to do big things that are terrible, and sometimes we're tempted to do just little things that are wrong. Sometimes we think, "Oh, I wish I didn't have to go to work. Maybe I'll phone in sick." Or sometimes we're in a big rush to get to church on a Sunday morning, so we speed. Okay, that's another temptation. Those are the little things that are easy for us to fall into. Sometimes big temptations, we can push those away, but the little temptations are the ones that trip us up. I was reading in Scripture this week, and it said, you used to be adulterers. You used to be very, very sinful people. But now you've put these things away. But now, put away gossip. Put away backbiting. Put away those kinds of things. So when we first come to Christ, we put away all the biggies. All the big sins, right? But sometimes we kind of cling on to some of the little ones. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to get rid of all the little sin in our lives as well. That moment when we want to say something negative about somebody else. Don't say it. The moment when we want to feel pride coming into our heart. That's an ugly sin. And I think we all struggle with that one. So God wants us to put sin away from our lives. I was just teaching my students this week that in a speaking class, we say our words and they're gone. But in a writing class, you write them down. I'm very conscious of Aaron typing everything I'm saying right now. I'm hoping it's coming out correctly. You're making me very self-conscious, Aaron. Okay. I think we all need to understand we are not the only person that has been tempted. We're all tempted to do things wrong at different times. But we can take hope because in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. In other words, the temptations that we face are the same ones that other people face. So it's our natural tendency, isn't it, to blame other people when we're tempted. If my husband hadn't been mean to me this morning, I wouldn't have yelled at him. I wouldn't have been tempted to be mean. If this person hadn't have cut me off in traffic, I wouldn't have done this. If they. But you know what? It's our responsibility, isn't it? And sometimes when the big temptations come, we say, "Wow, God is really tempting me this week." Have you ever said that? God doesn't tempt us. The Bible tells us clearly, God doesn't tempt us. James points out that we are tempted when we turn away and follow our own lusts. There's no temptation that we can experience that cannot be resisted. God knows the temptations we're facing, and he makes a way for us to escape those temptations. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 continues to say, God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with that temptation will provide the way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. So no matter what the temptation is that you face or that I face, we can always avoid that temptation by fleeing. What's fleeing? Yeah, running, getting away from it as fast as you can. I was thinking about the difference between trials and temptations this morning. And I think with the trials that come our way, we have to be like boxers. Ever watched anybody box? Do they run away in the ring? No, our trials, we face them. Poof, square on. We square up and we face our trials and we deal with them because those are the things that make us strong. But temptation, we have to be like a sprinter and go the other direction. We have to flee from it as fast as we can. There used to be a comedian when I was much younger, and his favorite phrase for all of his jokes was, "The devil made me do it." And we would love to be able to say, "The devil made me do it," wouldn't we? But you know what? It's not the devil who makes us do things. It's me who makes me do things. When lust is conceived, then sin develops. So, James says, when we're tempted, we are carried away and enticed by our own lust, our own sinful desires. Carried away and enticed were used by the Greeks in reference to luring animals into a trap and baiting fish. My father was a great hunter and a great fisherman. He knew the correct bait to catch every animal. He knew the right kind of bait to put on a hook. He knew where to find the fish, where to find the animals. And he would keep most... I had a very different childhood than probably most of you. For me, coming home from school and seeing a deer or a bear hanging in my front yard was quite common because my dad was a hunter. So there was deer heads and moose heads and everything around our house. And my dad would keep parts of animals in our freezer. And when he went trapping to catch beaver or a wolf or something like that, he would put part of another animal in the trap. And the animal that he was trying to catch would come up and sniff it and walk around it, and they could not resist the bait. Can we resist the bait? Sometimes no. But the animals couldn't resist the bait, and they would stick their head in, and the trap would snap shut. Or sometimes they would just stick a paw in. That was very sad. They would just stick a paw in, and they'd get caught. And they couldn't escape that from that trap at all. The trap was too strong for them. So the enemy knows. He knows the bait that each one of us is enticed by. So for me, he's not going to put a bait out dangling in front of me that I couldn't care less about. But maybe somebody else would care about that. Maybe they will be caught by that. But for me, he's going to put something that he knows is going to get me every time. And so I have to really learn not to sniff the bait. Don't go near it. Run away from it. Go in the other direction. Don't get caught by it. We must recognize first what our own lusts are, what our own evil desires are. Sin can seem so attractive, so alluring, so desirable, but it's a baited hook. You know, hooks, they have a part that catches the fish, but then it comes back. It's got a barb on it, so you can't get the fish can't get off. And it's if you ever had a fish hook caught in your finger, you know what it's like trying to get it out, right? Sometimes they have to cut it out. It's very painful. So often the hooks are barbed, and that's how the enemy hooks us in and catches us. James describes when lust has conceived, we give in to our desires. The bait and the hook has caught us. That's when we become entangled and ensnared. We follow our desires, and we're tempted. And when we're tempted, that's what makes sin. But the good news is we have a choice. We can resist or we can embrace the sin. There are two men in the Bible, similar in some ways, different in other ways. One was Joseph and one was David, both men of God, both men after God's own heart. Joseph was a servant in the house of a high-ranking official. Remember Potiphar? Well, he was Potiphar's servant. Joseph was put in charge of the whole house, and everything was just going great for him. But Potiphar had a wife who thought Joseph was very handsome, and she thought she would like to have time with Joseph herself. So she chased Joseph. She tempted Joseph. And it was a continual thing. Joseph was continually tempted by her for a period of time. But Joseph knew that he could not give in to this temptation. So one day, the Potiphar's wife basically cornered Joseph. And Joseph wasn't like many men. He didn't go, oh, okay, well, I guess what can I do? He went, get out of here, and took off as fast as he could. But she grabbed his coat. And when she grabbed his coat, she was able to lie. Not only was she deceitful and lustful for Joseph, but she lied about Joseph as well. Joseph did what Paul says later on to Timothy, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness. James also later on in his book in chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if we flee youthful lusts and the devil flees from us, we've got a pretty good space between us, haven't we? So it's up to us to resist and to submit to God if we want to remain pure and clean before God. Now, as I said, there was another man, David. We all know about David, don't we? One time when David's men were all out in the army, David decided he was going to stay at home. Big mistake. When he was walking around, he spotted Bathsheba. And he was really, really tempted by her. Not that she did anything to tempt him. She didn't even know he was looking. But he was tempted by her. And although she was married, David fell into sin with her. So let's compare the two. Joseph was a servant. David was the king. Joseph was poor. David was rich. Joseph had no wife. David had many wives. Joseph was being pursued by a woman while David was pursuing a woman. Everything was against Joseph. He was a servant. He was poor. Someone in authority over him was pursuing him. David had every advantage. He was rich. He was a king. He could do anything he wanted. But Joseph, he fled away from the sin, whereas David embraced the sin. They both had a choice. One failed and one succeeded. So you can see it doesn't matter about our position in life, whether we have a high position or whether we have a low position. It doesn't matter about our situation. It doesn't matter about our income, whether we're rich or whether we're poor. It doesn't matter who wants to sin with us or who we want to sin with. It all comes down to where our heart is. What do we want to do? As Christians, we need to be in the Word of God, because that's what Jesus used when Satan came against him. He used the Word of God. And if we don't have the Word of God hidden in our hearts, we can't come back. We can't stand strong. We need to be in prayer. We need to be rooted and grounded in prayer in order to resist the temptations that come our way. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we're not going to be looking at the bait. We're going to be looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. James talks about when sin is accomplished. Well, what does that mean? When sin is accomplished, we embrace it. So it graduates from something that just makes us kind of stumble to something that we walk in habitually. So when sin is conceived in a weak moment, it can turn into a pattern in our life. Think about the drug addicts. Do you think they thought when they were younger, I'm going to become a drug addict? That's my goal in life. I'll be a drug addict. No, it wasn't. They took that first drug. whatever kind it was. It could have just been a toke of marijuana. It could have been anything. But it got a hold of them. And they thought, ooh, that was pretty good. I think I'll take some more. And then pretty soon, they were addicted to it. And they can't get rid of it without the grace and the power of God intervening in their lives. Or people who gamble. Many people like to gamble, don't they? I cannot go anywhere near any place that gambles because I'm a gambler. It's just fun. But, so I know that I cannot go near anything like that because that would be a real bait for me. So I need to turn away and not go anywhere near that. Some people are dying of AIDS. Do you think the people who are dying of AIDS would have slept around with other people? Not that everyone who has AIDS has slept around. I don't mean that. I know people get AIDS from blood transfusions and things like that. But people who have lived a promiscuous lifestyle, do you think they would have started doing that had they realized the consequences? Maybe, maybe not. But they need the grace of God in their lives to help them not to do those things. Do you think the young prostitute in Jeonju decided she was going to be a prostitute? Probably not. That wasn't her life's ambition. But now she needs the grace of God in her life to lift her out of that pit. Because it's only as we are willing to reach down and lift other people up and share the gospel with them that their lives are going to be changed. Unrepentant sin will kill us. It will kill us physically, and it will kill us spiritually. We need to repent of our sin, no matter how huge or how little we think it is. Sin has consequences, and the consequences of sin is death. But John gives us some hope. He says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't leave a trace of sin on us. We are pure, we are clean, we're just as if those sins had never happened because the blood of Jesus Christ washes us from those sins. So I'm not sure what you're facing today. I'm not sure what the bait is that's on the hook that could tempt you. I'm not sure if you have had a wonderful week with no temptations, or maybe you've had a week that has been pretty tough. But I encourage you to flee from youthful or old lusts. Flee from lust. Look to Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus to fill us. We need to keep our eyes fixed on him. So I'm just going to pray a couple of minutes, okay, for each of us here. And if you have anything in your heart that you have been kind of holding close, nobody knows, give it to Jesus today and say, Lord, I don't want this in my life. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I don't want to be struggling with temptation. And then this week, as you go home and go through the week, when you're tempted, get into the Word. Get into prayer, because those are the only things that are going to save us. And we know this. We all know this, because it's the truth of God's Word, and we've experienced it. So let's just bow our heads for a few minutes, and we'll pray together, okay? Father, I thank you that no temptation that we face is more powerful than the power of your blood. No struggle that we encounter is more powerful than you and your word. And Father, I pray today for my brothers and my sisters and for myself that this week that you will give us the grace and the strength and the wisdom to flee temptation. Help us not to see how closely we can walk to it without getting caught in it, but help us to run as far from it as we can. And Lord, I pray that if anyone here today has had some sin that they've been caught up in and that they haven't repented of, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the grace to repent and to move away from it. Father, we ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all unrighteousness today. I ask that we would be the people of God who would move from this place into the streets of Jeonju, offering the gift of grace and love to those around us. Father, we pray your blessing now on every man, woman, and child in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Okay. Phil.